And Heavenly Father, at this time, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Now, I know that the imposition of ashes is something that the Protestant Church doesn't usually do. It's an unusual thing. I don't remember doing it when I was growing up as a kid, and I don't remember when it was that I first experienced it, but it seemed like such a joyous thing to me. The ceremony, I'm a little more into ceremony in church than I think some of my contemporaries are, but even the idea of Lent itself, some Protestant churches don't do anything about Lent. I mean, growing up, all I could really remember about Lent was every once in a while there'd be like one day of the week during Lent, there'd be like a special study going on. And maybe there was a pancake dinner on the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. Am I wrong about that? I almost made pancakes last night just for the sake of doing that, but I didn't. But again, it's one of those traditions that we as Protestants don't really participate in. Usually, if you see somebody walking around with ashes on their forehead on Ash Wednesday, they're Catholic. And usually, you find if somebody is giving something up, we hear that phrase giving something up for Lent, and maybe we do that or maybe we don't. But the church doesn't really push that kind of thing. The idea for Lent actually comes from the 40 days of Lent actually comes as a reminder to us of Jesus' fasting in the wilderness. The story is relayed to us in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus answered to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. So it's this 40-day fasting period that Jesus went through before beginning his ministry that we look at as Lent, the 40 days of Lent. Now, if you get your calendar out and count the days from today until Easter, there are 46. I'm going to let you in on a little secret that the church doesn't want you to know. There's a conspiracy. Sundays in Lent don't count. Did you know that? Sundays in Lent don't count. So whatever it is you gave up for Lent, if you're giving something up for Lent, you can still have it on Sunday. It's okay. Now, if you have a problem with that, don't do it. But Lent is actually 46 days. We spend 40 days suffering, fasting, whatever it is that we're doing. The reason we're giving something up is we're meant to be fasting. Fasting doesn't necessarily need to be from food specifically. 40 days without food is a very long time, and we would probably die. There are people who fast for long periods of time like that. They're able to build up to it. There are tricks to doing it. But the reason we give something up in a way as our fast, we can give up, for example, one year I gave up television. I went the entire Lenten season without watching 1 minute of television, and I'm better for it. There have been times where I've given up, a few years ago, my whole family, we gave up meat during Lent. So usually during Lent, you give up chocolate, which, yes, that is sacrificial. I will admit, giving up chocolate is sacrificial. But if we're all honest, we could do without chocolate anyway. And that seems to be the way it is when we give something up for Lent, is we're giving up something that we could probably do without anyway, or something that we don't have anything to do with. If I were to give up, for example, beets for Lent, nobody would notice because I don't eat beets. But it's meant to be a time of sacrifice and a time of reflection. And the reason that we take ashes on Ash Wednesday on our forehead is, well, for one thing, we're doing is we are marking ourselves as followers of Christ. But another reason is it's a sign of mourning. In the ancient world, it was a tradition to put ashes on yourself when you were in mourning, particularly for the death of someone. One example of this, there are many examples in Scripture. One great example of this is Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 26. O my people, put on sackcloth and roll in ashes. Mourn with bitter wailing as for an only son, for suddenly the destroyer will come upon us. See, he's calling the people of Israel to mourn. And their act of mourning is to put on sackcloth, which is a particularly uncomfortable fabric, I'd guess similar to burlap, and roll around in the ashes, because that's how you demonstrate that you're mourning. We don't do this continually through the Lenten season. We only do it on the one day, because it's really not necessary. You know, we're not shouting out to the world that we're mourning. We're quietly pointing it out at the beginning that we are in mourning. The question is, what are we mourning? Whose funeral is it? Well, it's ours. This may be a little surprising, but it's actually our funeral today. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says, what shall I say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So when we became Christians and when we were baptized, if we were baptized, that represented our death, the death of our old self. You may sometimes hear a reference to, you know, the old man is dead, put on the new man. And that is what we are today. We are the new self. We are a better self, a follower of Christ. Now, you may ask the question, well, why, if our old self was so bad, why are we mourning? Why are we mourning the old self? My friend Tom tells a story when he right after he graduated from seminary and started preaching in his first church. He got a call very shortly after he began from a local funeral home. Sometimes when somebody passes and they don't have a home church, the family will try to reach out to a local church looking for a pastor to do the service, to do a funeral service for the person who had died. And he put on his good suit and went to the funeral home the night before the service was to be, and was introduced to the widow of the man who had died, and introduced himself. Hi, I'm Pastor Tom from such and so church. I understand you wanted a pastor for the funeral tomorrow. What can you tell me about your husband? She said, I'm glad he's dead. She used some expletives in there that I'm not going to repeat in the pulpit, but she said, I'm glad he's dead. He beat me every day that we were married. I'm glad he's dead. But she was still having a funeral, you see? Because in some way it's appropriate. As much as she wanted to just dump him in a ditch and forget about him, there's a funeral, and it's appropriate. And our old self, and in describing my old self, I could probably use the same expletives, perhaps some that are more colorful, but I won't because I'm in the pulpit. I'm glad he's dead. But after a fashion, we still mourn the old self. We still mourn the old self, the old dead self. We're a new person. We are a new creation in Christ. One of the reasons a lot of people don't like Lent is because it's sad. Some people don't like Ash Wednesday because it's sad. Some people don't like Good Friday because it's a reminder of a sad thing. And it is a sad thing. But we need those things to have Easter. I know my pastor, Pastor Larry Houck, years ago, was always fond of reminding us that we were an Easter people. And the church is. We are an Easter people. We celebrate the resurrection. And that's actually why we take Sundays off in Lent, to celebrate the resurrection. That's why we have church on Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection. And we like to celebrate. We like to have those good times. We don't like to be reminded necessarily of the bad things. like who we used to be, or the fact that in order to rise from the dead, Jesus first had to be crucified. And that must have been a rough thing. But a lot of people won't celebrate Lent, and a lot of people won't celebrate Ash Wednesday because they don't like to be reminded of that bad thing. Well, it's a personal choice. You know, the celebration of Ash Wednesday, the celebration of Good Friday, the celebration of Lent are not things that will affect anybody's salvation. I'm going to be coming around with in a few minutes to present ashes to you if you want them. If you don't, that's fine. It's not going to affect anyone's salvation. There's not someone standing at the gate that says, saying, well, you didn't get ashes on Ash Wednesday. We're not letting you in. But I like to do this in the morning so that we have a day. We can walk around with this little smudge on our head, and people will see, hopefully by this sign, that we're Christians. Hopefully they won't be surprised. I remember once, some years ago, I attended an Ash Wednesday service that was being done by the Anglican bishop, Bishop Duncan, down in the city, and he has a good sense of humor. And I went up for my ashes, and he was very careful to point out that we do this preferably in the morning so that you have the day to wear the ashes, and this is a sign. This is a sign. Well, he made certain that for me it was a beacon. I don't have a lot of hair on top of my head, but instead of a little tiny cross on my forehead, Bishop Duncan gave me a big one. And yes, I walked around all day with that. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wear that proudly. Typically, I don't smudge that much. I notice none of the gentlemen here have much hair, as God intended. I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. But that is why we wear ashes. That is why we celebrate Lent, to get this little bit closer. And if you are not sacrificing something, if you are not fasting, if you are not giving up chocolate or television or any of those things that we traditionally give up in Lent, I would like to encourage you to give up some of your time and spend a little extra time each day with God, perhaps in prayer, perhaps in reading His Word, perhaps in private meditation, perhaps if you're not in the habit of doing devotions every day, personal devotions every day, perhaps to spend some time, take that up. I know down at the library there are some devotional books, right? Devotional books in the library? Yes, yes. The lovely lady in red in the back here will be happy to help set you up with some devotional books if you're looking for that extra time. That's my mom. So I'm going to come around now with the ashes and mark you if you so choose. If you don't want it, that's fine. Just let me know. From ashes we have come, and to ashes we will return. We are reminded in this season of mortality. Even Christ died on the cross. But let us remember that he did so for us, and it is up to us to stand by him in this time. It's like a marriage where, yeah, there might be a point in a marriage where things are going badly, but if you took the traditional marriage vows, you said you would be there in better, you would be together for better or for worse. Our walk in Christ is the same. He sticks with us in the bad times, and this is a time for us to stick with him in the bad time. The service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place, entering into our season of Lent, and be blessed. Amen.